With me today is Professor John Hajek. He's a professor for Italian Studies and director for RUMAC at the Melbourne University. Good day.
Good day.
And we're not going to talk about Italian today, but we're going to talk about a lot of languages and how you can teach your child or children to learn more than one.
Yes.
In the Filipino community, more often than not, the frustrations of parents who are raising their children here in Australia is that they cannot speak the language. And I suppose that's true in other communities as well.
That is a normal pattern that you find amongst many children living in Australia, because they are very conscious of the fact that they're living in an English-speaking country. They work out very quickly that English is the language of power, of prestige. They understand how important English is in the world. They get a lot of English input all around them. It's in the shops, it's on television, radio, music, etc., and it's in the schools. So all of those things, the message that they get is, you know, English is right up there. So it is a challenge for parents trying to, get their children to learn the parents' language.
But nowadays, it is a plus or an advantage if you do know more than one language, isn't it?
Yes, totally. We know that, apart from anything else, it's one of the really important factors for me is it's a really good way of keeping families connected. They're able to talk to each other or understand each other through the parents' language. It's an important part of a family's heritage to be able to share the family language. It's an important part of who you are, your mother tongue, and your parents passed their language on to you. You have the right to pass your language on to your children. And there's absolutely no law that says you can't do that. In fact, it's encouraged in Australia.
But raising children in more than one language can be tricky sometimes.
It's tricky. It's tricky for the Filipino community in particular, because they come here with such excellent English to start with, so it's very tempting to speak English to your children because your proficiency in English is very, very high when you arrive. Also, it's tricky because people often unconsciously think that, will say, well, I speak to my child in my language all the time, but actually because they're so good at English, it's very easy for them to slip into English. So you have to monitor yourself a lot to make sure that you're making it clear to your child that, the language you want to use with between parent and child is my language, which is in English.
There is this notion that if you teach your child or speak to your child in our case, in Filipino, they might get confused, especially in early stages or early ages. Is that true?
No. Children are very good. They work out the difference between languages very quickly. When they mix languages, it's nothing less than Filipinos do when they mix language. I sometimes watch the Filipino news on SBS. I don't speak Filipino or Tagalog, but I understand a lot of what's going on because what Filipinos typically do is mix a lot of Filipino and English. So, it's normal behavior.
There is also this notion that you would have to send them to school, to a language school, to learn the language.
No, I would strongly recommend that the first approach is to rely on language in the family. You can use a community language school as a way of supporting language learning, but you can't rely on a language school to teach your child your language.
In the Philippines, I find out that the easiest way to teach children the language is through reading and watching movies or programs in Filipino. Is that true?
Oh, well, that's certainly one of the those are certainly strategies you'd want to adopt in the Australian context. But you need to speak to the child. You certainly need to help to read. One of the great things about the Filipino languages is they're written the way you say them, and you say them the way they're written. So actually, if you want to encourage your child's literacy development in English, you want to sit down and teach them how to read and write your language. They learn the association between sound and letter very easily in Filipino and Cebuano and Ilocano because the spelling systems are so good. The challenge for them is actually learning to read English, which has not a very good spelling system. But if they have that background in letter sound association, it facilitates their learning of English reading and writing significantly.
To be able to read in English better,
yep,
it's easier to teach them in Filipino first.
Yeah, because it's a really great way. You can do it first or at the same time. It's a really good way of showing them the association between sound and letter. You don't have any problems at all in Filipino or other Filipino languages. It's much more of a challenge in English because the spelling system is often very inefficient and unclear.
A lot of the Filipinos who live in the south, particularly the Cebuanos and the in the Visayans, they'd say that we're not really very good in speaking Filipino.
Well, they don't have to speak Filipino. They can speak their own language, and I would, you know, ask parents to consider speaking their own mother tongue. There's no reason why a child can't learn to speak Visayan or Cebuano. And the wonderful thing is when they go back to the Philippines, they're able to communicate in the local language in the local context.
You can teach them multiple dialects as well at the same time?
Well, I mean, what I would you need to think about what you're doing. Clearly, if you speak Cebuano, Ilocano or Visayan, you have a very good idea of what Tagalog or Filipino is like. So it certainly facilitates the learning of Filipino. You should focus, you know, maybe focus on your preferred language.
There's this strategy that I heard a long time ago that one parent should be consistent in speaking a certain dialect and the other parent in a certain language.
Okay, so that's really about mixed marriages. So if, for instance, you have, you know, your partner is an English-speaking Australian and you're a Tagalog-speaking Filipino, in that particular case, what you do is it's to make sure that the parent with the language is not speaking English. So the English-speaking parent would speak English to the child and the Filipino-speaking parent would speak Filipino to the child, and we wouldn't get the Filipino parent speaking English to the child. We're being consistent so the child knows what's going on. But what I would also, and knows that, oh, with mummy I speak this language, with daddy I speak this language, but that does not in any way stop the non-Filipino speaking parent learning the language and participating in the process as well.
Or mommy can speak in Filipino and daddy in Visayan or Cebuano?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I was raised exactly in that context. My mother has her language, my father has his language. I was born and raised in the western suburbs of English. My mother says I didn't speak English till I went to primary school. And, you know, obviously things have worked out for me. I've been able to function. And I have my parents' languages. I have English, and I also learned a few more languages at school and university.
I suppose it's the best gift that you can give your children, isn't it?
It's a wonderful gift, and we know that having more than one language is really good for the brain. Apart from being able to connect within families and being able to travel back to the home country or whatever, we know that it's very good brain gym. You're not doing anything harmful to your children. You're actually you're doing something positive for them.
And you will be telling us more about this in the Raising Children in More Than One Language seminar this November.
That's right. It's on the 20th of November. We hold it every year around this time. It'll be held at the University of Melbourne, and I'm sure you'll get the information about location. Registration is at 12:30. We start at 1:15, and we finish about 5:30. And we have parallel sessions. We have one series of sessions for parents who are thinking about this for the first time, and we have a very excellent speaker, Dr. Susanna Derpke. And then we also run some other sessions at the same time for parents who've already attended and want some information about what happens after the first couple of years. So we have a session on early literacy, and then we have a session on bilingual programs.
So 20th of November, Sunday at Melbourne University.
At Melbourne University, opposite the Central University tram stop on Swanston Street, in the big glass black building, the Sydney Meyer building.
More importantly, it's free. You just have to register.
It's absolutely free. If you go online and register so that we know how many people are coming, I would encourage everyone to come along.
Thanks very much, Professor John Hasek.
My pleasure.